1450 KBMW.
Hey, good morning, you. Nice day. Got a little bit of sunshine trying to peek through here, and 22 degrees. Time to do what we do. Crank up your radios. We're going to get some Wahpeton history from our favorite historian, Janet Gageland. Good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
It is, and good to see the sun kind of trying to show its face.
Kind of blinded me a little bit looking east. I'm like, what is that?
It is surprising, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, today we're talking robberies. Are we on a crime spree again here?
We are.
Okay.
Because there was a lot of it. You know, at first I thought, oh, there's not much of interest. And then you find a story, and then that story has, you know, many months to it. So, yeah.
And the more you dig, the more you find out.
Of course. Yeah. That's just how it goes.
So we're talking robberies today?
We are. There was a... This one takes place in Breckenridge by the Great Northern Railway, because some of the businesses in Wahpeton would get their freight dropped off at the Great Northern Railway, and so they had their own little warehouses there. So they would take the freight to their warehouse and then store it till they actually needed it. So this one, this robbery takes place in March of 26, and it is the Gamble Robinson. They had like stores across the United or the across the state, so they had cigarettes and other items that they would sell in their grocery store, and the burglars got in on that day in March, and they stole 60,000 cigarettes.
Wow!
Yeah. Now the cigarettes were in like packages of 20, and these were the factory made ones. These weren't just like, oh, this is a bag of tobacco and
here's hand rolled stuff. Yeah.
No, this was the real thing. So it was factory made. And then they had three sacks of sugar. We're not talking probably a pound, you know, sack of sugar.
Big sacks, yeah.
A lot of that type of like flour and sugar, they were in barrels in the store, and you just took out the pound or
what
two
you needed,
Yeah. And the police have no clue about these thieves. They got in through breaking a window in the back of the warehouse. And I think this was worth about $500.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cigarettes and sugar.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
We'll talk why in a minute here.
Okay.
So that wasn't enough. About 3 weeks later, they got robbed again. And this time they took cigarettes and sugar. But the city said, you know, we should probably have some better lighting over there. So they added some extra lights, because now this had been twice in less than a month. This is a little too much. So the guy who was coming to work that day saw packages of cigarettes along the sidewalk. And he's like, what is this about? You know, so he gets closer to the building and finds that the window in the door had been broken. And then they would reach in and open the door from the inside. And then they go through the store and open the back so they could load it into their vehicle, which is what they did.
Okay.
And again, they took a lot of stuff. They had 70 packages or 70 cartons of cigarettes, whatever, and two bags or sacks of sugar.
So just strictly cigarettes and sugar.
Yep, that's okay. What they were after.
All right.
So they drove away with their loot and the vehicle that they had stolen fell apart. It broke down. They had a wreck. And so they had to leave with maybe about one-third of what they had taken from the store or the warehouse. The Fargo police, because that's where the vehicle was stolen from.
Okay.
The Fargo police, they're on it now, too. And so they're trying to identify suspicious characters in an effort to apprehend the thieves. That's what they were doing. Now, a pack of cigarettes back in that day sold for maybe 15 cents.
Yeah, it wasn't real expensive.
No.
I know that.
Yeah, and you could get maybe sometimes two for a quarter. It varied depending on who was selling it and where it was being sold. And
But times have changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, if you have 70 packages or 70,000 pack, and 20 to a pack, that's a lot of cigarettes.
Yeah.
So their losses were going up. Well, that wasn't enough. So
it just gets better.
Yeah, they went to the Gamble Robinson warehouse in Valley City, where also freight was dropped off. And so they had a warehouse there, and this time they stole only 60,000 cigarettes and several sacks of sugar again. And that was about $500 lost. So between these three, they lost about $1,400 of merchandise. And this that was all in a little over a month. Things were getting a little scary. And the thieves were getting a little bit more
bold.
Yes, yeah. Very bold. So the next one is a gunfight. So they're back now again at the Breckenridge Gamble Robinson warehouse.
Right across the river.
Yep, right across the river. And the night watchman was kind of like, he was coming to work and he's like, what's this, you know? So he goes around. He thought maybe some of the people who worked there were there, you know, doing their jobs. But he walked around to the back of the building. But you know what? That wasn't those. It wasn't anybody who worked there. So he came around the corner and surprised some of the people who were stealing. And one of the thieves came out of the shadows and started shooting. So 16 bullets later, they were on the run, the thieves. The sheriff or the night watchman got shot in his jacket. And I mean, he didn't get injured or anything like that. But he thought, well, you know, I better, you know, get after these guys. Well, they ran towards Wahpeton. And he then ran towards the Stratford Hotel. And there was a siren that they would sound that would alert the police or fire, depending upon what it was. And so they came running, the sheriff, and they came down, and they couldn't find anything but maybe three young men who were sleeping under the bridge, which probably had nothing to do with it.
Right, right. It was pretty common back then.
Oh, yes. Yeah. But the night watchman got a good look at the thieves this time, even though it was dark. He could see that there was one maybe about 30, but they were well-dressed. They had suits. One of them even had an overcoat and a fedora hat. So they thought, oh, maybe these guys are from Chicago.
Classy thieves, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So they took off. Anyway, the thieves took off, went to Wahpeton, tried to steal a couple cars that they were unsuccessful doing, but they still had time to come back to Breckenridge and jump on the train with the freight train that went through. But they left with no loot. Well, they're still trying to solve this, you know?
Okay.
So in July of that year, the night watchman and a carload of Breckenridge men went to Fargo.
Vigilantes.
Yep,
here we go.
They tried to identify the thieves because Fargo had arrested a couple of individuals who seemed suspicious, and they were selling cigarettes.
Up to no good.
Yep, and yeah. So they were kind of shady with where their supply was coming from. So the Breckenridge fellows go there, and the night watchman said, well, it was dark. I didn't get a very clear picture. You know, shadows are one thing, but, you know, the actual person is another.
Yeah.
So we have no arrest. So these thieves got away with a lot of stuff and not ever to be found.
Sugar and cigarettes.
Yes. Now, you probably say why.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, back in that time, the Camel cigarette factory made was about 40% of the sales. Of, you know, like there was Chesterfield, Lucky Strikes, I think Old Gold. But Camels were 40% of the sales. So what these thieves would do is they would load their vehicle with the cigarettes and the sugar and drive to Canada across, not the normal port of entry. Of course, they found another little.
Uh-huh.
So then they would go there and trade with the whiskey makers, the bootleggers, and they would trade the cigarettes and the sugar for whiskey, and then they would bootleg that back.
So what a racket.
I know. So
what a great story, though.
Well, 150,000 cigarettes were stolen, you know, as
incredible.
Well as, yeah. But, you know, so in this case, everybody was happy. The bootlegger people in Canada got their sugar. They got their cigarettes, which they could then turn around and sell for approximately 50 cents a package. So they were happy to get the sugar and the cigarettes.
Reminds me of that movie, The Untouchables. You're bringing me good movie and TV scripts here every Thursday. What a great story.
Yeah, I mean, that was just like, how can it keep going and people not... Yeah. You know, not find it. But I did find a few. Do we have a couple of minutes yet?
Yeah, we
okay.
do.
So I got some ads from the paper, and this one was from 1927, and it talks about camels.
Okay. Modern smokers praise the integrity of camels.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
This is back when you could still advertise it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they didn't need to advertise much before that. And a lot of people still went to the tobacco shops and bought their tobacco and made their own. But it took till 1927 before they got out there. This one's from 1931, which surprises me where the tobacco products were actually sold. See my little...
Oh, yeah, National Tea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Quality Grocers, yeah.
Yep.
National Tea Food Store.
Right.
1931.
Yeah.
Incredible.
And here's another one from 1931, and this is from the Red Owl Store. They sold cigarettes, too, only they sold them by the carton or the box, as they said.
Just like looking at the price of things, too. Other
yeah.
things listed here, it's like, yeah, definitely times have changed, without
indeed.
A doubt.
Yep.
Janet, another great story. What do you got for us next week?
Well, I got some more robbery stuff.
Okay. More crime.
More crime.
Janet's on a crime spree here.
I am.
She's digging around.
Yep. Yeah.
Janet, always great.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Janet Gageland, we are talking history here, Voice of the Valley. AM 1450 KBMW, it's 821. Morning Zoo is next.
My friend was thinking about suicide, so he called 988.
I was really struggling, so I texted 988.
I didn't know where to turn, so I reached out to 988.
The 988 Minnesota Life.